thankful to be here today. I don't see anybody back through there that I don't know, I don't think. So it's good to be here. I'm very humbled and very thankful to get to be here again. It's always amazed me that people would take time to sat and give their attention to me being up here. So I want you to know I'm very appreciative of that. I know you come to hear from the Lord, and that's what we want too, but we do have our human frailties and things that you've got to put up with. So the fact that you would is very much a blessing to me. I also want to say that I've been in the ministry for full-time for 27 years this November, and the first meeting that I ever held that was actually scheduled was a meeting in LaRonde, Louisiana, where Brother Ed was pastor there. So we've been doing this for a number of years now. As far as I know, there's never been the slightest aught between me and them, him and Sister Roberta. I count them as mentors, and he's an elder minister to me that I have greatly appreciated his ministry, and also want to say that I count them as friends, and that's about the highest compliment that I can pay them. They're friends of mine, and I appreciate the working relationship that we've had over the years. Appreciate it.
Can I interrupt you, Brother Martin? The Lord told me to call you.
I appreciate the Lord for doing that. I do have a message that I feel like the Lord's put on my heart. That's what we want, so you pray for me. I want to look at a scripture starting off in Proverbs, the third chapter of Proverbs. In the 13th verse, it says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof of fine gold." My message today is going to be on the merchandise of wisdom. I want us to think about that for a little while. Merchandise is something that you think about. It comes to my mind. The idea of there's stores that have merchandise. I'm regularly going to the stores. My wife and daughters like the clothing stores. They don't appeal to me like they do them. I don't need to go in and see anything. I don't look at anything. My wife buys me this. I'm sure she got me this shirt all the way down to my shoes. If this was a different color today, it would be her fault. I don't pay much attention to it. She does it. They have a certain desire and thing. God put that all in there. It's all right and good. You can turn me loose in Lowe's or Home Depot, and I'm a different critter then. I don't mind going looking through there. The idea of merchandise is, I think it would be best explained in the items and things that can be transferred to one another. I mean, you buy them, you sell them, you give them, you get them. It's merchandise. It's things. There's things that I can go through and look and Home Depot or Lowe's, and there's all kind of useful things. There's hand saws, and there's caulking guns, and there's right on down the tool aisles. There's generators, and there's things that appeal to the needs of my life. You may say the things that I do. I do things. If I didn't, then it wouldn't make much difference to me. But as I go by and I see a nail gun, for instance, I don't have one. I'm not a carpenter. But when I do something that I need that with, I often think about, boy, it'd be nice to have one. And I look at that and think, that would be a good thing. An air compressor, for instance. It's nice to have one handy. Tires go flat. You do that. There's all this merchandise. The store is full of things, from washing machines and refrigerators and all down to just screws, handful of screws. You know, I like to keep jars full of different size screws, nuts, bolts, and things at the house, but just simply because I do enough things that I need. I need the merchandise of it. I need something to be able to fulfill what I'm doing. And so I need these things. And so I think about all of the stores, and I'm sure back it was different back in that day in some degree. I think he's probably referring to an allusion here of the trade that they have. This has been going on for time immemorial. People have made things and traded it for somebody else for something else. And you got this and I have this, and I'll give you so much of this for this. And these caravans of things from other lands where they didn't have the same material. They didn't have the same, you couldn't get silk here, but China made it. That kind of things. You couldn't get the spices, certain spices in this land, it doesn't have it. We do the same thing today. We have things that we offer great amounts of coal and timber from the country that I have, and out in Oklahoma you don't have that. I'm not sure what you have out here altogether, but you have oil and gas. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? The things that you, there's a commodity of things that you trade back and forth, and this is probably what he had in mind here when he makes this kind of idea. There's all these things that are beneficial. They're beneficial. They help in life. We need to have these things. Well, the greatest thing that can possibly be given to us in life, that wisdom would speak this to, is salvation. There is no greater wisdom that you can have today than to get the commodities that come along with salvation.
That's right.
What is important to you today? I'm asking this seriously for you to think about it. What is important to you today? Because it's an important question. Is your marriage important to you? You're going to need some merchandise. And to fulfill that, to get into its ultimate, to get it to be fulfilling. You can go through, many people go through marriages that never bring the quality or satisfaction of life that it was meant to. But God wants more than that. Salvation speaks to higher things than just that. We live in a communal way. We're not isolated. We're not an island. We're not a rock. We're within communities. I have neighbors that I regularly talk with my neighbors and have a relationship with my neighbors. I'll be honest with you. If it wasn't for the Lord, it wouldn't be very good. But because of the Lord and the merchandise of wisdom, I have a really good working relationship with my neighbors. I know when to stay in my own lane. You know, you got to stay in your own lane with your neighbors.
Yes.
There's things that you got to do, and things that you have to do. I recently, we had chickens, had a number of chickens at different times, and I have a neighbor that has some dogs, and these dogs are these little bred hunting, feisty little hunting dogs, and they got a nature about them. They're cute little dogs, but they got a nature about them, and their nature is to chase something and bite it and kill it. That's the nature of them. Well, I have chickens, and I like them for the range, and I had chickens. I had them, and they like them range and eat the grass and the bugs and stuff. I let them loose in the evenings. But when these dogs got out of their pen or got loose, the first thing their notion was is there's some little critter running around over there in the yard. They don't have any sense during it, so they rush over and kill my chickens. This is a regular thing. What would you do if your neighbor's dogs kill your chickens? You feel bad for your chickens. You may hate that it happened. But I'm going to tell you, you need some merchandise about this time.
Yes.
You need to be able to project what life is going to be like with the way I respond.
Yes.
I need to respond with a grace that God freely gives us. I need to have that. Well, what happened in this particular case, my neighbors, of course, feel worse than I do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They don't like that either. But a bad response from me is going to be a bad thing, right?
Yeah.
Well, it happens to be that I have a dog that when he gets loose, he causes trouble. So there's not much room for me to wiggle here with this anyway. But one of my neighbors come over and, oh, they are so sorry. Well, no, it's okay. It's fine. You know, I understand. Dogs are dogs. This and so it goes away. So sometime later, and I had this beautiful rooster that we hatched in the incubator, and we had a number of them. And this one, he was a crossbreed between a white one and a brown one. And he was the prettiest rooster. He had the prettiest coloring on him. And he was just getting up to the grown till he really was starting to have that rooster look and all. And we had about 7 chickens at the time. And all of a sudden, one evening, I heard some screaming by the children and the commotion. And they said that the dogs and all know. And they said, well, they only killed one. And I'm like, one. Which one? You know which one. It killed that rooster. And of course the neighbors come over and head hanging. I'm so sorry. And so they bring me a gift card. We want to give you this gift card. And I said, no way. I said, I'm not taking the gift card, and I'll tell you why. Because when my dog gets loose, I'm not getting you one. My mower tore up. It started smoking my riding mower, and I got quite a bit of a yard to mow. I started push mowing it. My neighbor brought his zero turn. He saw me push mowing it, and he came over and mowed my yard. That's good merchandise. That's wisdom, projecting what life ought to be. It's projecting out there that there is good outcome. The scripture teaches us. It teaches us that what you sow, you'll reap. And if you have the flesh, if you sow corruption, you will of the flesh reap corruption. You it will do it. But if you sow to goodness, if you sow to right things, if you sow to that, you'll reap those kind of things in your life. This relationship goes on. It goes on because there's wisdom involved in that. You understand what I'm saying? I have another neighbor on the other side of me. It hasn't all been well there. But over the time of working with it and dealing with it and doing things and helping, and then this, I went on mowing like this, and the other day I had a good crop of corn, and I was sharing my corn, sweet corn, out with different ones, and so I took bags full of fresh sweet corn to my neighbors. And this other neighbor was one that I took the sweet corn to, and he so appreciated it. We got to talk for why he so appreciated it. He saw me push mow in the yard the other day, and he brought his zero turnover and mowed my yard for me. This is relationship. It's a merchandise. The storehouse is full of merchandise, of tools, of things that God wants to give us. It is the gospel. Yes. It's the gospel. It's the product of the gospel. Of what, I'm not saying that you can get along. It's not scriptural to say that everybody's going to love you. It's actually the opposite. But there's relationship and things that we can do. There is things that agitate and aggravate in relationships. But we get confused about what it's worth. Is the chickens more important than the neighbor? You can pet them. You can get up emotions about them. You can like that kind of thing. It can hurt. It can scar you. It can. There's something that's violating even. There is something that wants to say, keep your dog in the pen. Or if you want to be more aggressive, is the next time the dog comes over, he gets what the chickens get. You can go through those kind of things. But it's not good merchandise. The merchandise of wisdom is almost always, the very definition of wisdom is to know the result of an action. That basically is wisdom in a nutshell. A little slumber, a little sleep, a little folding of the hands will bring you to poverty. That is the line of it. You see what you're doing, you know what the outcome is. Wisdom speaks to that future day that what you did grows into something. It's the very nature of wisdom. Wisdom will speak about the little things that you do in your life that's indifferent or whatever it is. Along comes the Lord, but he wants to teach us better how to do this. He wants our marriages, of all marriages and of all people, he wants them to be sound and solid and loving and to show the world what it really is supposed to be. He wants us to represent what a neighbor ought to be. Yes. He wants us to represent in our communities where we're at what a Christian ought to be. To our children, he wants us to represent what godly parents ought to be. Lord help us, but it's true. What we ought to be thinking, how we ought to be doing, what is the wisdom that's in it? The merchandise. There's things that we really need. I run into a thing, well, actually it was just last night. I was settling myself down to get with the Lord and really, Lord, what do you want? And I had this thought for a while, several days ago, I got a message from a family in Pakistan that I've known. The father of this family has been diabetic, and he's had a diabetic foot, and his toe was rotting off. And I prayed with him on FaceTimed him and prayed for him back and forth over the time over his foot and different things. I put prayer requests in at home for him and all. And so I don't contact him every day or them me, but it's a regular sharing of things that we run on to. I get a scripture from them every once in a while, or a quote from some spiritual thing, and back and forth. And so there's a relationship have developed there, and they will put in prayer requests for us and those kind of things. And so a few days ago, I got an urgent request, and it was the daughter, this man's daughter, and she told me that please pray, urgent prayer request, that the oldest brother had it. She said bleeding on the brain or mind, but I think bleeding on the brain. He had something happened inside him, an aneurysm bust or something. He rushed him, and they had an emergency surgery for him, and he hadn't woke up, and it had been like 30 hours, and he still wasn't awake. And I got a couple more urgent prayer requests. Please pray for him. He's 30 years old. He has two little girls, I think. He's married, has two little girls. He's kind of the head of the family. He's the oldest one, so they're very family-oriented. So he's kind of the one that kind of keeps everything going and all that. I got a message last night that, brother, please help us, pray for us. My brother died. It said we are battling fear and grief. It was such a touching message. What would you say? What would you say? I'm thankful that I had some merchandise. Yeah. Ain't nothing that I've ever done. There's nothing I can do. But there's a lot of merchandise. And you know where I got the merchandise from? I was married once before, Linda. My first wife died. It was hard, and I'd never chose it. Nobody would. It was a strong battle of mind to stay encouraged. I mean, it was a traumatic time. But there was so much merchandise in it. There was so much that God wanted to do in that thing. And after it was all done, I'm better. I'm more equipped. I've got something to say. Of something that I not got from a book, but I got from an experience with God, going through something that you can't go through and be successful without him. Yes. You can't get it without him. No. But it has been something that has, I'm different than I was before. But there is a confidence, a merchandise with me about this situation that I don't have to be careful about how I say it. I don't have to be shy about it. I can be very persuasive with it because it's deep down in. I learned it well. and what God was wanting to do. I had something to say to her last night and to her family about what God wants to do and about how you don't see it now. I know you don't see it now, but if you stay with the Lord, you will see it, because God is loving you. God cares for you, and there is something bigger than you can get right now that God's going to work with you with. Be faithful to God. Cast it on the Lord all that you can, because God is working in your life. This didn't just happen without God knowing it. I've got something to say from an experience that I had. And so I was able to go over and over in scriptures, the merchandise just rolled. The scriptures, the encouragement, they just rolled. It was one scripture after another. And at the end of it, it was, thank you. Thank you. She had said, we're so fearful, especially the girls of the family. They're so fearful. The devil's just bombarding them. Fear is all over them. But when they got through, they said, thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for the help. One time I went to get some gas at unbeknownst of what the Lord had prepared, but I went to the local place there in Green Bank to fill up my truck with gas. And I usually talk to everybody that's around me, and there came a guy to the pump. He was pumping gas on one side, and I was on the other. I didn't know him to be a local. There was a lot of pipeline people in there at the time. He wasn't a local. Obviously, to me, he wasn't. And I spoke to him, how are you doing? And it was a normal thing, and the one thing led to another. This is an odd thing for men. It usually don't happen among men to open the heart like that at the gas pumps. But the man ended up saying to me, I've got some problems. Well, brother, something I can help you with. And wouldn't you know it, he said, I don't know. He said, my wife passed away a couple years ago, and I can't get over it. I try to work, I try to do all these things to get it over, but I can't get over the loss of my wife. And when he said that, I said, oh, is this divine? I was able to say to him, I lost my wife too. And he said, did you really? Yes, I've lost a wife too. And I can tell you some things about how you feel. I say, brother, do you ever feel guilt about, oh yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I know you do. I know you do. I know you feel responsible somewhat for it. What happened to her? She died of cancer. Yeah. You feel responsible somehow? Yeah, somehow I do. I had something to say, because it was merchandise that the Lord had given me. There's something that was valuable, that wisdom speaks out of. There's a scripture I want to look at in it's familiar scripture in the second, I believe, of Ecclesiastes. I won't read all of this, but I want to point you to it in the second of Ecclesiastes. This starts out with the words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. It's assumed, of course, is Solomon's writing. I don't doubt that. It said, he says here in this reading, he starts telling about things. Solomon was a man that sought after wisdom. I seek after wisdom. I want to know and understand things. And so I'm going to put it to the test. I'm going to do it. He was king. He was a very wealthy king. He was a very notable guy. He says, I'm going to put all of it to the test. I'm going to check the merchandise of this world. I'm going to see the values of the things that my eyes look at, my hands want. I want things that I long for and desire. And he said, you can read it here. It's quite an extensive reading and idea. But he says, I made myself, if I remember right, I made myself things like, I got me maidservants and menservants. He had people to serve him. Yes. Well, we think that, well, that could be something that would be wanted. You could have them do anything, and you could do that. So I got the servants, and if I say go, they go, and if I say come, they come. And surely there would be some kind of pleasure, and that ought to fulfill us because I got people doing things for those kind of things. So I got me servants, and that wasn't enough. I got me singers and musicians to entertain me, and if I want the best, I imagine they was the best you could get, the money could buy or could rule. And I'll get the singers and I'll get all these things. And more than that, I built me houses. Yes. I built me houses. How many houses can you live in at one time? But you can get them in different locations. I'll have a beach house. I'll have a mountain house. I'll have a house in Wyoming. I'll have one in West Virginia. I'll have one on the coast of California. I'll have one down in Florida. And then I'll be satisfied to be in the seasons and times. Maybe one down in Arizona if I want drier. I'll get them all over, and it'll surely be the merchandise that will satisfy me totally. And he said, and this one appeals to me, I'd love to have a big lake with stocked with fish and my own personal lake. Brother Ed, I'd invite you to fish, but I'd like to have a lake with all the fish. We love that kind of stuff. Maybe a big property that has a lot of big whitetails on it and those kind of things. And Solomon must have had some kind of, he said, I made myself lakes. And I built the things that would appeal to my life and the things that I look. And if I want to go horseback riding on my property, I can go, or and things that I want to do and all those kind of, and he lists all of these things down, that this is what I do and this is all these things. But he had to say, and I did it for a reason, and I come down to the end of it, and now I've satisfied the longing of my eyes and of my heart, and I've gave it everything that could possibly be given it. And I said at the end of it, it's vanity. But what does it do? Does it change the fact that I'm getting old? Would it make your marriage better to have a lot of business? Does it give a better relationship with your children? Does it bring you closer to God? Does it give you a better spirit? Does it give you more grace? Does it warm your heart when it's cold? Does it help you in any way? He looked at it all and said, vanity. It's all vanity. I wasted the resource. I wasted all the time on something that don't satisfy. It didn't help you any. The merchandise of this world, folks, it can't help it. I know there is a deceitfulness of riches. Riches of all kinds. We think we've got to have. We think it's what it's going to do it. If we leave the Lord out of it, it won't do it. It won't do it. Sure, Lowe's has got a whole store full of merchandise. If I don't go buy it, none of it ever helps me. One day I needed to drill a hole through a handle, and I didn't have no drill bits. And I didn't have my drill with me anyway. So I ended up getting a nail, and I sat meticulously twisting this nail until I drilled a hole through there. There's all kind of merchandise, but I didn't have it. I didn't have the merchandise. God's got it. God has this merchandise of wisdom for us to get through life with, to help us to be the encouragement to others. What is it? You know, there's a, I don't know if you, many of you know his name. His name is Jordan Peterson. He's a clinical psychologist. He's recently turned to God. He's got some of the things, it's very profound, some of the things that he says and the stance he's taken. But he made a comment recently that really stuck with me, because he deals with people that are suicidal. He deals with people that are hurting. He deals with people that has reached out to satisfy their life but haven't got it, and they're very much in trouble. And this is what he says. Money and things is not a solution, is not an answer for them. He said, let me think of the, maybe I wrote that down. He said, purpose over money. Serving people is the best. Purpose. Yes. He says if he can get those people to find their purpose, yes, they are happy
whether they have money or not. But money without purpose is suicidal. Because it speaks of the I tried and I lost. It doesn't do it. You know, God, in God's great heart and mind, He knows that He created us to be people of purpose. We're supposed to have a purpose, an eternal purpose. We're supposed to have the purpose to take care of those that are around us. We're supposed to have a purpose to reach out to others. We're supposed to have the purpose for the souls of men. And when you have that purpose, and the great men of our age and of the ages gone by weren't rich men. They weren't even necessarily intelligent men. They were men of purpose. The great ones was always men of purpose. Men that would give themselves to the cause completely. And God bless them and help them. Paul wasn't rich, was he? I think he was intelligent. He was learned. God used that when He sanctified it to him. But Paul was one of great purpose. He knew what his purpose was. He was called an apostle to the Gentiles. He took it on faithfully. Nothing could deter him. He had this because he had a purpose in his life to spread the gospel where he went. He tried to give it to everything. This is what God wants us to get. He wants us to have the merchandise of peace and love in our hearts to share with others. He wants us to have the counsel, not of great things, but of our own personal life. We don't have to say anything that we don't know and have lived. And if it's nothing more than I was lost, and now I'm saved. I was blind, but now I see. I have been altered and changed. And it gives hope to those that are around. There's a merchandise that God wants us to have. The merchandise of the gospel. The merchandise of godly things in our lives. We live in a world that is going further and further away from the simple things of the gospel, the simple ideas of life. It astonishes my mind. It makes me to reflect more and more about the phrase in the scriptures that said that it was that the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually, to twist good to bad to good, to twist things around, to not be able to have the basic ideas of things. And you hear it in the news and strange things and things like I recently seen a thing where they had asked I believe it was somebody who was a nominee to be a judge, and asked him whether a man could be pregnant and have a baby or not, and the woman couldn't answer that straight out. We all know better than those kind of things, but there's a philosophy and thing that's coming into the world that is twisted and warped and all of that. There's only one answer to the way the world's going. It's the gospel. It's the gospel's the answer, the truth. And I'm going to tell us our security against all of this is our relationship with the Lord, and we're to love truth. Love truth, not our truth, not a truth, but to love the truth. We don't always know it. We can't always define it. We're human, and some of it's beyond us. But we are to love the truth. Lord, You give me the truth. I love the truth. I want to know what the truth is. Therefore, because I want to know the truth, I'm not going to prejudge something. I'm not going to step ahead of something. I'm not going to make blinders of myself so I can't see the truth. Lord, I love the truth. Give me the truth. And if it crosses me, then I'll change it. Yes. But give me the truth. Help me to have this truth that You have. Lord, give us this good merchandise. Over in Proverbs 23, it says to buy the truth and sell it not. Get this merchandise in your life and don't give it up for anything. Now, this whole idea of merchandise and getting merchandise, it always costs you something. It always costs you something. And this is going to cost you something. You know, it's an amazing thing to me because I was telling somebody recently about this idea. Something was said about stealing or something. And I said, You know, there's a reason why that's an awful crime. Stealing's a crime.
Yes.
You know why it's such a crime? It isn't just the loss of a material thing.
No.
It's because it takes time to buy something. That's why it's such a crime. I've only got one life, and the most precious thing I have is time.
Yes.
I have time, thank God, but I have time. God gives everybody a measure of time. Now, if you was to come and steal my lawnmower, and I have to go work and make a couple hundred dollars to buy it back, you stole that from me.
Yes.
You stole my time.
Yes.
That's why, to be honest with you, I try to be as efficient in a service like this as I can. I'm not interested in stealing your time because it's the most precious thing. You can waste your time if you want to, but I don't want to be guilty of stealing it or robbing it from you. That's why stealing is such a crime in itself. It takes time. It takes something to get the merchandise of God. Sometimes it's going to take sometimes down on our knees to get this merchandise. This don't always come easy. Sometimes there is something that's going to have to take a surrendering of others. I'm going to have to get rid of the other merchandise. I'm going to have to get rid of the other ideas and the way that we do. I'm going to have to get rid of the whole idea that the way we do something and come on with a whole new system of this. It's going to cost me something to lay that down.
Yes.
I'm going to have to redo the whole process. It's going to cost something to do it. But it's worth it to do it. But it costs something. There is a familiar scripture over in Matthew. Matthew, the 13th chapter. The 44th verse, 13th chapter of Matthew. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and sell all that he hath, and buy that field. I want that merchandise. But it's laid out in a certain pattern here for us to consider. It was not a treasure, as you would think, to go in a one-time. I think these are purposed by God in this language. It's not the idea that you go in one time. Our life living for the Lord is not one experience. There is monuments in the experience. There is monuments of the first time when I knelt down and begged God to forgive me. That was a monument. And salvation was there, and I can claim that. But it wasn't the end of salvation. It wasn't the end of changing. It wasn't the end of understanding. I would say that the door had just opened. That's the way I think the journey was ahead. The door had opened. This says that there is not a treasure. It's treasure in the field. It's not one treasure over there. There's going to be treasure out there in the field. And you're going to have to find it, work for it, get it. There's merchandise. There's things that are going to help you. Yeah, there's things that comes along with it initially. But I'm going to say this. There's things that comes and disturbs our life sometimes until we can say, as the Pakistani sister did, pray for us to have peace.
Yes.
There's peace in the field, sister. But you're going to have to find it. I'll say this, there's peace for little things, but this is not little. This is monumental, but there's peace out there.
Yes.
Can I have confidence in God? Yes, I can, but I may have to go get it. I may have to dig hard for that. But God's got all of that merchandise for us, but it's going to cost something to get it. Lord, help me to be able to get this merchandise because we want to show the world this, but I'm going to tell you, they're not fooled by it either. Whether it's real or not. Lord, help us.
Yes.
To show the reality of this. There's grace. I know this to be true. There is grace for everything that pertains to my living a righteous life.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean that I always have grace to live a righteous life. That everything pertains, it doesn't mean it. But it means that grace, like manna, falls daily. It means that I have to get up in today and find the grace.
Yes.
It means that tomorrow will be a new day with new challenges. I one time had a guy gritting his teeth and had a stuck a gun to my head. That takes grace. I didn't have to have that grace today. Well, maybe before the day at the end, I may have to get the grace for those kind of things. There's a grace to be able to perform all of those duties. It's a merchandise. And it's a merchandise of wisdom because the effects of it are long spread out there. Grace is a wonderful thing. You know, Queen Elizabeth, it was a big deal made, no matter what you think of the monarchy or the situation there. She was known to be a person of grace. Yes. She purposely strove for that. Yes. That she represented grace in her place. And it was a story told. I like the story. I have, of course, no way of verifying it, but I remember the story because it was so touching to me that I said, Lord, help me to have a spirit like that and the grace. But they said there was they had this big banquet deal at Queen Elizabeth's table. She was the one, and she had all these ones, and there was somebody there, and they said they have your proper napkins. I wouldn't. Listen, I'm from West Virginia, by the way, where the wind doesn't come sweeping down the plate. I'm from where I didn't have all the etiquette and all that, so I don't know about that. You know, to me, getting food from the plate to your mouth's the important thing. But there is an etiquette, and Queen Elizabeth was setting in a very sophisticated. They had their napkins, and there was these little bowls of water there, and the water was because they did the finger foods, and the water was to dip your fingers in and wipe it on your napkin. You know, the process and all that. And the story was that someone was there and didn't know what this was all about. And so they got the bowl of water, and they didn't know that it was water. And so they got them a drink of the water. And the other people knowing, of course, like there was a smirk or they didn't do that. But Queen Elizabeth, it was her table. And Queen Elizabeth then gets her bowl and gets her a drink too, because she was a woman of grace. She wanted people to feel right. She didn't want anybody to be embarrassed at her table. She's graceful. She wants to be welcoming and all that. And so she actually went and done the same thing so they wouldn't be embarrassed. That's caring about somebody. That's graceful. That is. And I said, when I heard that story, whether it's true or not, I can't verify. But the spirit of that touched me, and I said, Lord, help me. Lord, help me to be the person that would suffer the same shame if they needed to keep somebody from being humiliated, to step in where they did. It's called grace. Do you know that was merchandise of wisdom? That's the best way to, if you want somebody to come back to your table, that's the best way to treat them. You embarrass them, and they may never want to come back. You treat them with honor, and to be honored to come back. We want people to come to our tent meeting. It'd be better to honor them than shame them. It'd be better to love them than to hate them. It'd be better to tell them the good things of God than to just run them down. It's called grace. And there's a grace that the Lord wants us had, and his field is full of treasure. But this scripture says that when they realized that there was a field of treasure, they sold everything to buy the field. To be able to go into the field. Their work wasn't done. Not near it. They was only getting to the position to be able to get it. The first step that we need to get to be able to do these have this life-changing merchandise and have the tools to be able to fix the things that need to be fixed, to have the right things, is to be able to get the field. I got to get access to the field. You're gonna get this merchandise. You're going to have to get access to the field. There's only one way to get access to the field. Yeah. That's come to Jesus. That's right. Jesus can give you access to all the graces. He can give you access to all of the good things that God has for us in these kind of places. Lord, help us to buy the field. And to have the merchandise that the Lord wants to give us. Buy the truth and sell it not. I think it's more important all the time in the world that we live in, for our work of the Lord, I think it's more important all the time to have wisdom to know how.
Yeah, that's
smart. 50 years ago, nobody was talking about how to deal with transgender things. We're going to deal with it.
Yes, sir.
It's coming hard. We're going to deal with all of these things. Do we slam it? Do we kick it? How do we battle it? What do we do with it? Lord, give us the merchandise of wisdom.
Yes.
Help us to be able to be persuasive. I can't be persuasive. I'm not. Wait, you want this old uneducated hillbilly to do something for you? Ain't happening. We need the Spirit of the Lord to help us and to guide us in that. Give us the merchandise that we need to have. You can fake it and do all that. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't really care about them, that's all that it is. It's just a front. It's a fake. Lord, help us to have the true love of God. It's a merchandise of wisdom. Give us the love of God so that when I talk to them, I talk to them like they're my own child, my own brother, my own sister. A real care in there for it. They're being deceived. I know it's deception. You know it's deception. But they don't know it's deception. Lord, help us to be have the merchandise of the true Spirit of God, the love of God. Then we have the wisdom to know how to say things, how to do things. You know, everything, wisdom would teach us that everything isn't changed overnight. Some things we have to change in time. It takes time to change things. It takes time to work in these kind of things. But the Lord wants us to start on that path. If you got things that you don't know what to do with in your life, I want to recommend that you buy the field.
Yes.
Just start by buying the field. Sacrifice whatever you have to do to get the right to start looking for the treasure. I know the treasure is there. I need the field that I can go look for it. I sure need patience in my life. I mean, I say that seriously. That wasn't just rhetorical. I need more patience in my life. I may not have it all, but I know where it's at. And wisdom says that that's going to go a long ways with me. I need to get more of that. I need, in the day and time that we live in, I need to have more of the love of God in my heart. Not quick to dismiss the things that are so hideous. It may be God's working. I want to leave this with you, that God has everything that we need to help us be successful in this Christian life. You pray for me.